Bags. A bag is a non-bulk flexible packaging made of paper, plastic film, textiles, woven material, or other similar materials. Bags may transport explosives, flammable solids, oxidizers, fertilizers, pesticides, other regulated materials, organic peroxides. Bags can be sealed in a variety of ways, including ties, stitching, gluing, heat sealing, and crimping with metal. Typically, bags are stored and transported on pallets. Radioactive materials containers. Table 24.14 provides examples of radioactive materials containers. All shipments of radioactive materials, sometimes called RAM, must be packaged and transported according to strict regulations. These regulations protect the public, transportation workers, and the environment from potential exposure to radiation. The type of packaging used to transport radioactive materials is determined by the activity, type, and form of the material to be shipped. Depending upon these factors, radioactive material is shipped in one of the following five basic types of containers listed in order of increasing level of radioactive hazard. Accepted, this packaging is used to transport materials that have limited radioactivity, such as articles manufactured from natural or depleted uranium or natural thorium. Accepted packagings are only used to transport materials with low levels of radioactivity that present no risk to the public or environment. Empty packaging is accepted. Accepted packaging is not marked or labeled as such. Because of its low risk, accepted packaging is exempt from several labeling and documentation requirements. Industrial, this container design retains and protects its contents during normal transportation activities. Industrial packages are not identified as such on the packages or shipping papers. Industrial packages contain materials that present a limited hazard to the public and the environment. Examples of these materials include slightly contaminated clothing, laboratory samples, smoke detectors. Type A, this container D sign protects its contents and maintains sufficient shielding under conditions normally encountered during transportation. These packages must demonstrate their ability to withstand a series of tests without releasing their contents. The package and shipping papers will have the words Type A on them. Radioactive materials with relatively high specific activity levels are shipped in Type A packages. Examples of these materials include radiopharmaceuticals, radioactive materials for medical use, certain regulatory qualified industrial products. Type B, these packages must not only demonstrate their ability to withstand tests simulating normal shipping conditions, but they must also withstand severe accident conditions without releasing their contents. Type B packages are identified as such on the package itself as well as on shipping papers. The size of these packages range from small containers to those weighing over 100 tons, 91 tons. These large, heavy packages provide shielding against radiation. Radioactive materials that exceed the limits of Type A package requirements must be shipped in Type B packages. Examples of these materials include materials that would present a radiation hazard to the public or the environment if there were a major release, materials with high levels of radioactivity such as spent fuel from nuclear power plants. Type C, these are rare packages used for high-activity materials, including plutonium, transported by aircraft. They are designed to withstand severe accident conditions associated with air transport without loss of containment or significant increase in external radiation levels. The Type C package performance requirements are significantly more stringent than those for Type B packages. Pipelines. According to PHMSA, as of the year 2015, there are over 2.5 million miles, 4 million kilometers, of pipelines in North America. These pipelines transport a variety of flammable and non-flammable hazardous gases and liquids, including natural gas, propane, hydrogen, gasoline, jet fuel, crude oil, diesel, home heating oils, carbon dioxide, anhydrous ammonia. Pipelines are usually buried, but they may be located above ground as well, especially in cold climates where the ground is often frozen. In some cases, multiple products may be pushed through the same pipeline at the same time, or separated by a pipeline pig. Hydrocarbons are often commingled, figure 24.160. Pipelines also come in a variety of sizes and pressures depending on the product and the function of the line. For example, large natural gas transmission pipelines operate under extreme pressure, while smaller distribution lines typically operate under much lower pressures. Figure 24.161 provides an overview of a basic pipeline system for crude oil and natural gas. Pipeline breaches can be caused by excavation, corrosion, equipment, material, joint, or weld failures, operation errors, natural disasters such as earthquakes and floods, vehicle collisions. Emergency responders can view the transmission pipelines in their area via the National Pipeline Mapping System, available online. This system does not provide data on gathering and distribution lines. Pipeline releases can be violent, particularly if gases and/or high-pressure transmission lines are involved. Spills and leaks can involve large quantities of product. Since most products transported by pipelines are flammable or combustible, fire control should always be a priority consideration at pipeline incidents. Some indications of pipeline leaks and ruptures include visible vapor clouds or liquid spills, hissing, roaring, or explosive sounds, strong odors such as rotten eggs or petroleum smells, liquids bubbling up from water or soil with no obvious source, high-pressure gas blowing out of water or soil, dead vegetation or discolored snow above a pipeline right-of-way. Pipeline markers in the U.S. and Canada include the signal words caution, warning, or danger, representing an increasing level of hazard. They also contain information describing the transported commodity, the carriers, operators, name, and an emergency telephone number. Establishing good communication and cooperation with pipeline operators before an emergency occurs is an important element of emergency response preparedness. Pipeline operators are required to provide a wealth of information to emergency responders that can help reduce the impact of an actual release, including location of transmission pipelines that cross their area, name of the pipeline operator and emergency contact information, products carried and their hazards, location of pipeline emergency response plans, how to contact the pipeline operator regarding questions, concerns, or emergencies, how to safely respond to a pipeline emergency. Note, general considerations for responding to a pipeline emergency are provided on pages 23 to 25 of the 2016 Emergency Response Guidebook. Many industrial, commercial, and institutional facilities have piping carrying everything from water and steam to hazardous materials. Pipes carrying hazardous materials should be appropriately marked and labeled. Many facilities in the U.S. and Canada follow ASME's A13.1-2007 Scheme for Identification of Piping Systems to mark and label pipes. Where pipelines cross under or over roads, railroads, and waterways, pipeline companies must provide markers. These markers are often the best way to identify that pipelines are present, as well as to identify their contents, figure 24.162. Markers must be in sufficient numbers along the pipeline to identify the pipe's location. However, pipeline markers do not always mark the pipeline's exact location, and you should not assume that the pipeline runs in a perfectly straight line between markers. Vessel cargo carriers. Marine vessels transport over 90% of the world's cargo, and that amount is expected to increase in the future. Hazardous materials incidents involving vessels can be minor, such as a small spill at a port during loading or unloading, or major, such as a spill contaminating miles, kilometers, of river or coastline waters. Statistics on oil spills show that most spills are relatively small and result from routine operations such as loading and unloading, which normally occur in ports or at oil/chemical terminals. Vessels that transport hazardous materials include the following. Tankers, tank vessel. These vessels may transport very large quantities of liquid products. Tankers often carry different products in segregated tanks. There are three tanker types, figure 24.163. Petroleum carriers transport crude or finished petroleum products. Chemical carriers transport many different chemical products. Liquefied flammable gas carriers transport liquefied natural gas, LNG, and liquefied petroleum gas, LPG. Cargo vessel. Cargo is shipped in the following four vessel types. Bulk carriers may transport liquids or solids. Break bulk carriers may transport a variety of materials in many different containers such as pallets, drums, bags, boxes, and crates. Container vessels transport cargo in standard intermodal containers with standard widths and varying heights and lengths, figure 24.164. Roll-on/roll-off vessels have large stern and side ramp structures that are lowered to allow vehicles to be driven on and off the vessel, figure 24.165. Barges. Barges are typically box-shaped, flat-decked vessels used for transporting cargo, figures 24.166. Towing or pushing vessels are usually used to move barges because they are not self-propelled. Virtually anything can be transported on a barge. Some barges are configured as floating barracks for military or construction crews. Some are designed as bulk oil and chemical tankers. Other barges carry LNG in cylinders that may not be visible until a person is aboard. Barges may serve as floating warehouses with hazardous goods, vehicles, or rail cars inside. Unit loading devices. Unit loading devices, ULDs, are containers and aircraft pallets used to consolidate air cargo into a single, transportable unit, figure 24.167. ULDs are designed and shaped to fit into airplane decks and compartments, particularly commercial cargo planes, and in some cases they may be stacked. Hazardous materials may be shipped in ULDs provided they are in accordance with governmental regulations, including packaging and label ING requirements. Note, military aircraft or transport vehicles may transport internal airlift and helicopter slingable units, ISUs, that transport everything including hazardous materials. Intermediate bulk containers. Per the US DOT, an intermediate bulk container, IBC, is either rigid or flexible portable packaging, other than a cylinder or portable tank, designed for mechanical handling, figure 24.168. Design standards for IBCs in the US, Canada, and Mexico are based on United Nations recommendations on the transportation of dangerous goods. The maximum capacity of an IBC is not more than 3 cubic meters, 3,000 L, 793 gallons, or 106 feet 3. The minimum capacity is not less than 0.45 cubic meters, 450 L, 119 gallons, or 15.9 feet 3, or a maximum net mass of not less than 400 kilograms, 882 pounds. Note, these metric measurements were established by the UN. There is no weight limit on solid products. IBCs are authorized to transport a wide variety of materials and hazard classes, including aviation fuel, turbine engine, gasoline, hydrochloric acid, methanol, toluene, corrosive liquids, solid materials in powder, flake, or granular forms. IBCs are divided into two types. Flexible intermediate bulk containers, FIBCs. Rigid intermediate bulk containers, RIBCs. Both types are often called totes. Flexible intermediate bulk containers, FIBC, FIBCs are sometimes called bulk bags, bulk sacks, super sacks, big bags, or tote bags. They are flexible, collapsible bags or sacks that are used to carry both solid materials and fluids, figure 24.169. The designs of FIBCs are as varied as the products they carry. Often the bags used to transport wet or hazardous materials are lined with polypropylene or some other high-strength fabric. Others may be constructed of multi-wall paper or other textiles. A common-sized super sack can carry the equivalent of 4 to 5 55-gallon, 208L, drums and, depending on design and the material inside, can be stacked one on top of another. Sometimes FIBCs are transported inside a rigid exterior container made of corrugated board or wood. Rigid intermediate bulk containers, RIBC. RIBCs are typically made of steel, aluminum, wood, fiberboard, or plastic, and they are often designed to be stacked. RIPS can contain both solid materials and liquids. Some liquid containers may look like smaller versions of intermodal non-pressure tanks with metal or plastic tanks inside rectangular box frames. Other RIPS may be large, square, or rectangular boxes or bins, figure 24.170. Rigid portable tanks may be used to carry liquids, fertilizers, solvents, and other chemicals, and they may have capacities up to 400 gallons, 1514L, and pressures up to 100 psi, 689 kilopascals. Drums. A drum is a non-bulk, flat-ended or convex-ended cylindrical packaging made of the following materials: metal, plywood, fiberboard, other suitable materials, plastic drum. Capacities range up to 119 gallons, 450L, but 55-gallon, 208L, drums are the most common. Drums may contain a wide variety of hazardous and non-hazardous materials in both liquid and solid form. Typically, metal drums carry flammables and solvents, and plastic/poly drums carry corrosives. Drums have the following two types of tops: open heads, removable tops. Tight or closed heads, non-removable tops with small openings plugged by bungs, stoppers. Transportation placards, labels, and markings.